Welcome to the Rainmaker Multiplier on Demand, a podcast for leading financial professionals, or Rainmakers, and their teams that offer support for securing a successful future. From marketing help to staffing structure, listen and subscribe for actionable insights from advisors and skilled professionals alike.
On today's episode, we speak to Bill Cates, a referral coach with over 35 years of experience. Bill is a Hall of Fame speaker and author behind the books Get More Referrals Now, Beyond Referrals, and Radical Relevance. Our hosts, Jason and Bill, discuss how the approach to securing referrals has evolved and the importance of value discussions. They also touch on actionable tips advisors can use to improve their own referral processes. Enjoy.
Just talking about the whole last 10 years, next 10 years, evolution of things like we did, Bill. The VIPS method. So I did. I watched you speak 2010. I bought all your cassette tapes and listened to them in my 1997 Dodge Intrepid. I think I still had at that time. And no, I did. And I memorized that VIPS method. And I used it like religion for years when I was still client facing. And even still today, well, we teach Bucket Plan 2.0. We talk about VIPS is a great way to remember to have the conversation. I would love to hear 14 years later, right? Your first book, right? The Ultimate Referral System and what you taught VIPS. Is it still relevant today? Do you still teach that method today? Has it evolved? What's being taught today as the best way to have the conversation?
Yeah, I'd say it's evolved in just a couple ways, and I'll go through it very quickly for everybody so you know what we're talking about here, and I'll give you a sense of how it's changed. So the V in the VIPS, some people call it VIPS, is value discussion. So that'll never go away in having conversations with prospects and clients, really almost any kind of meeting of any substance, to check in and say, what value are you finding on today's meeting? Are you not? And these are open-ended questions. It's not, did you find today's meeting valuable? And they'll say, yeah, great. Okay, well, that doesn't really accomplish much. But if you say, in what way did you find today valuable? Or the process we've been through, can you tell me the value you feel you're getting so far? That gets them in touch with the value. You learn, you see how what you're doing lands on people. And you'll see how where you thought you brought value here, they're finding it really over here, which teaches and learns. And then eventually it could become the place to, if not ask for introductions, at least promote the possibility and say, great, don't keep me a secret, never too busy to see if we can be resourced. So that value discussion, that expectations check is critical. The I is treated with importance. Of course, we want to treat this with importance. It's not an oh, by the way conversation as they're leaving your office, you're walking them to the car. We focus just a little bit here. It deserves to be treated with importance because the work you do is important, and how you put it out to people, right? If you're weak, apologetic, it's not going to be received well. I mean, I could say, Jason, you don't happen to know anyone else who should know about the work I do, do you? I mean, if you could think of someone, that'd be great. If you can't, that's okay. I think I made you feel uncomfortable. I know I made myself feel uncomfortable. Why don't we forget we had this conversation, right? So you put it out in an apologetic way, you're not going to get much of a response. And I'll model this for you all in just a second. The P is the permission to brainstorm, permission to explore, permission to talk. The reason I give you several words here, because I love the word brainstorm personally, but I know not everybody does like that word. So it's important that you find the words. And my newest book, The Language of Referrals, which I know you'll let me mention more in a minute, is about the right language. And it's important that you find the right language. But the bottom line here is we're making sure they're okay with the conversation. This is not something you push onto someone. It's something you have, it's a collaborative conversation. If they're open to it, if they're not, it's fine. You can back off and maybe live to ask another day down the road. And then the S, this suggests names and categories. This is what's changed, and this is where I found a lot of where it falls apart for some folks, is they do the classic, unproductive, hey, Jason, you don't happen to know anyone else who should know about the work I do you? Or can we think of anyone else who should be aware of what we do? Look, I suppose that's better than nothing, and lightning does strike occasionally, but usually it does not produce a result. They say, well, let me give it some thought. I'll let you know. It kind of fizzles. And it's not all loss. You've at least planted the seed and let your clients know that you are open. You are never too busy to see if you can be a resource for others. All of your clients, at least your A clients, should certainly know that. But what I've been working on a lot lately is the what does that suggest names and categories really look like? So the bullseye, I'm calling this the bullseye request, is specific people you know your clients know. And if you're a good advisor, you're going to know some of those people. Probably after the first meeting, you're going to have a sense of some of them. Because the work your clients, you do with your clients, impact other people, right? Your clients also have relationships with other people that their decisions impact them. And so it's kind of almost impossible not to know some people in your client's life if you're doing a good job. And so that's the easiest, the path of least resistance. I know your sister and brother-in-law in the area. Gosh, assuming we come up with an approach that feels comfortable for everyone, it's always good to put that in there. How do you feel about introducing me to your sister and brother-in-law? Can we talk about that? Oh, yeah, maybe. What do you have in mind? So, and then this next ring out from the bullseye is money in motion, life events, categories. Now, everybody knows about this. This has been around forever in terms of the referral introduction process. But think about it. I just did a presentation in front of a group yesterday, and I focused on this. Most of the clients that you brought into your business, I would wager, their radar was up to meeting with you and decided to work with you because something was going on in their life. There was some shift, change, right? And money intersects all aspects of one's life. So one of the best ways to plant the seed for referrals, even if you're not asking direct, is to teach your clients, what are those life events and money in motion categories that are going on, and which one that was going on for them that brought them to you, and just educating them on how to identify someone who should probably seek your advice. And that's a very powerful place to ask. I mean, it's great to get introduced to the sister, brother-in-law. It's great to get introduced to the guys or gals you play golf with or whatever. That's okay. But if they don't have anything going on at the moment, they may not see the importance of meeting with you. But if there is something going on in their life, and anything going on in their life involves money, so almost you make it about that, whatever's going on in their life. So that's what we've been emphasizing a lot lately. And then finally, the last thing we've been really focusing on a whole lot is the introduction. I've devoted a whole section of the book now to the actual, how do you secure that connection, that introduction? One more thing, and I'll shut up, is when you're with a prospect, client, center of influence, anyone who has the ability to connect you, use the word introductions. Let's let the word referrals be for internal use only. But what we really do want is the introduction, right? The connection, whether it's an email, whether it's in person, whether it's a three-way Zoom. So let's use the word that represents what we want, which is that connection, that introduction. So that's changed a little bit, is the emphasis on introductions, because it's just so hard to reach people these days.
Yeah, that's where we focused a lot of time and energy at J.L. Smith, is those introductions too. And so we're doing small group client dinners and special events that we know are hobbies and interests that are of top level blue diamond clients, where we're creating those type of, creating that kind of space for our clients to be able to invite somebody in the most fun and easy way, right? It's I'm going to drop another strategic coachism. They talk about easy, lucrative, and fun, ELF, right? You got to always make it ELF, easy, lucrative, and fun. I think that came from Joe Polish originally, but that's what we're finding with some of these like special events, that especially if you like doing it, if you like fine dining, if you like golf, if you like bowling, whatever you like, if you like cooking, do those things, find the top level clients that are yours, and then have them bring their friends. It's easy, it's lucrative, and it's fun. And if you look at the cost of it, it actually is even better than doing marketing seminars, like from an ROI standpoint.
Oh, without question. Let me address that for a second, because a lot of folks will, I'm sure everybody on this call has experienced this, where you have a client appreciation event and you say to your clients, hey, we're having this wine tasting, and we're doing this or that, whatever, chocolate appreciation, all kinds of stuff. Feel free to bring a guest. And either they don't bring a guest or whoever they bring isn't really qualified or interested. They just came for the chocolate or the wine or whatever. So I make a distinction between a client appreciation event, which has value, because when clients who like you and trust you get together with other clients who like you and trust you, the net result is they all leave liking you and trusting you more. So that has the value, whether it's an introduction or not. And then the next level is what I call a special invitation event, right? This is where the purpose of the event is for introductions in a fun, right? In a fun way.
I like that name, special invitation event. That's good.
Yeah. And we let our clients know. We have these appreciation events. I know you came to the gardening event we did or whatever. I just want to let you know that a lot of our clients like to introduce us to others. And we found that one of the easiest, most effective for everybody is in a social setting. So we're having this chocolate appreciation event next month. We're going to send you an invite, but I just want to let you know the purpose of this is to meet folks that you think should at least be aware of what we do, may have some interest. Don't worry, it's not going to be a sales meeting or anything like that. We just want to meet people in a social setting. So you could make that 12, 15, 16 people. You don't want too big because you want to be able to connect with everybody. Or you could make it just a lunch or a dinner or golf outing, right, with client and a couple of guests. But you just want to be clear on what your intention is. You don't want to just hope they bring somebody who's interested and qualified. You want to say the purpose of this event specifically is for introductions in a fun, easy, comfortable manner.
Awesome. I think it was a week before last, I was at the Fay, had a mergers and acquisitions conference, right? And it was on business succession planning, and they kind of shared their annual advisor survey of all their top firms and where the bulk of their business comes from. And it was 61% of the business came from referrals, right? And the reason I share that statistic is because I hear advisors all the time say, oh yeah, I'm no good at referrals, or I suck at asking for referrals. But listen, the proof is in the pudding. Every one of you that's listening to this or watching this live broadcast, think about your business and what percentage of your business comes from referrals, even if you don't ask for referrals, right? Just because you're referable and you do a great job servicing and doing the right thing for your clients, it's probably a pretty decent percentage, right? For everybody who's listening. And so I think sometimes people sit there and beat themselves up too much of maybe you are good at referrals, right? You can just get better, right? If you look at what percentage of your business currently comes from referrals, it's likely a high percent. It might even be the highest percent. J.L. Smith, consistently 50 to 60%. All of our new business coming from referrals every year. And so I think most of you are probably thinking the same thing for yourself. So you are good at referrals, but you can get even better. And it's a lifetime journey. I mean, you go back to 10, 14 years ago in 2010, I bought your system, Bill. We still at J.L. Smith, we've been through your program multiple times, put multiple advisors through it. We keep going through it over and over again. It's not something that it's a one and done. It's not a silver bullet. It's a skill that you develop over time, and you just got to continue to work on it. Too often people focus on their weaknesses instead of their strengths. The reality of it is referrals are a strength for all of you. So keep building on those strengths and keep getting better at something you're probably already really good at.
If I could comment on that, I think that's great advice. And it's really kind of three stages if you think about it. And if I may shamelessly promote my new book that is available right now, the Kindle is 99 cents on Amazon. We're waiting for the paperback to be approved. And if you go to languageofreferrals.com, then you can just put your email there if you want to be notified. But point I'm making is that there are kind of three stages. The first is becoming highly referable. And how do you know you're referable? Well, you're getting some without asking, which we're talking about these unsolicited referrals, introductions. And a lot of folks just are just super referable. The experiences they provide to their clients, the relationships they build with their clients. And that creates a pretty good quantity and quality, because we want to look at both, right? of the folks that they're being introduced to. And now, is there a higher level? Yeah, but that alone counts. Then the next level would be, how can we be proactive? How can we turn an incremental growth into exponential growth? Well, one way is to promote or encourage introductions. And so there are a lot of ways to do that. Most of you probably heard about, I popularized the phrase, I didn't invent the phrase, but popularized, don't keep me a secret, don't keep us a secret. That's one of many ways you can do it that I teach. And so that next level of proactivity, of encouraging, of reminding, letting clients know we're never too busy to see if we can be a resource, that will start to increase the opportunity. Certainly never going to hurt a relationship or anything. And then the final is that proactivity. How do you actually ask and do it in a way without? And people come to me for coaching. They always ask, Jason, one of two things. They say, how do I do that without looking like the cheesy referral guy or the creepy referral guy? Those are the two things I hear all the time. And the truth is, yes, there are ways to do that. But that's what it'll take, that incremental growth, and start to create exponential growth. The multiplier effect kicks in when you are up to a certain level of proactivity. But those unsolicited referrals, as long as you're getting the right kind, they count. And you shouldn't diminish that capability that you've established.
Right. And Bill, I think what I loved, if I look back at what the VIPS method did for me back in 2010 and the years following, is my business was solely referrals. That was one of the things people were kind of blown away, even when I would do speaking engagements way back then, is I didn't do any marketing whatsoever, right? I didn't do any seminars, no live workshops, no education, no anything. It was 100% referrals. And so the thing was, what I found is two things that held me back from asking or having conversations about referrals. Number one is I would forget. I'd simply just forget, right? I'd do the meeting, and at the end of the meeting, it's like the meeting's over and, oh man, I forgot again, right? So I started creating an agenda for every meeting. And guess what the very last bullet point on the agenda, very simple agendas, last bullet point on the agenda, VIPS. That's all it said, VIPS. And so it remembered me, reminded me, helped me remember to have that value conversation, treat it with importance, meaning confidence, right? Don't be sheepish about it. And then asking that permission to brainstorm, and then specifically asking about people I knew about or suggesting, hey, what about this, that, based on what I knew about them. And it was magic what happened. So like remembering, and then, but the confidence piece is also having some kind of system that you have the confidence to follow. And just that simple VIPS gave me that, right? Gave me the confidence to not ask like a cheesy referral guy, but to be able to suggest people and brainstorm in a tactful way.
Yeah. So what some people have, first of all, you always want to run meetings by an agenda. You'll run a better meeting. And what we know about brain science is people love closing doors. They love completing things. And so when they have an agenda and then they get to check off the items as you go through, it's very fulfilling for the brain. And so either last item, or sometimes, Jason, I recommend maybe next to last, and I'll tell you why. You put value discussion or value check-in or expectations review, because you can review expectations to make sure they match. A lot of different words, you communication review, whatever word works for you. And that's the reminder, so you won't forget. You have that check-in, you make sure that everything's okay. And that gives you the confidence, and they get in touch with their value a little bit more. It gives you the confidence to at least promote the possibility or ask if you want. The reason I say not the very last is because you say, hey, Jason, can we brainstorm a little bit, see if we can identify a few folks that you think should be aware of the work we do. I got a couple ideas. Referrals? No, I don't like. I mean, it doesn't happen very often, but every now and then you're going to find someone who just doesn't want to do it, right? And so you don't want to end the meeting on that energy. Have at least one more thing. Say, that's fine. Just wanted you to know that I'm never too busy if it comes up. Thank you. One more thing I wanted to run by before we're done here, right? So you can get it back to a better energy. You don't want to leave it on that. It could be scheduling the next meeting. It could be reviewing a point you made earlier. It could be a question you save for the end. It could be anything. So
recapping the progress you made in that meeting.
Recapping the progress, recapping who's going to do what next based on the meeting. A lot of different things can happen. But you got that one more thing to go to if you need it.
That's really good advice. Yeah, because you're absolutely right. In some instances, they're just never going to do it and they'll be upfront with you about it, right?
Yeah, and they'll still be a client. They'll still be a happy client. I mean, most of you have probably experienced this. You asked in your best way that you knew. They said, no, I'm not right. Let me think about it. And that same person, a month, 2 months later, they go, hey, I think I got somebody for you, right? They just want to do it on their own terms. So we just got to make sure it's in the conversation. It's I call it building the culture within our relationships with clients. It's not heavy-handed. It's not obnoxious. It's not, you're not being a pest. It just becomes part of what gets talked about from time to time in how you talk about your value and how you review things to make sure the value's there and how you suggest a possible introduction from time to time when someone else enters the conversation with them. It's just in the air. Let's put it that way. And that'll make a difference, make a huge difference. And thank you, Lisa, for signing up to receive information on the book. I saw you did that.
I love the name of your book, Bill, Language of Referrals, because sometimes it's just about saying the right thing, right? Words matter. Every word counts.
And the words need to be right. The words need to be right for you. So yeah. I may call it scripts or word tracks, but it's really just to stimulate your own creativity and what's going to be the right word and word track for you. But you're right. Words do have power. They have meaning. And that's why introductions versus referrals, right, these days. So, but having the right ones is what builds the confidence sometimes. This is not rocket science. This is just about confidence. And I found when people say, oh, I didn't realize I could say it that way, or I never thought about it saying it that way, then all of a sudden that strategy that wasn't accessible to them becomes accessible when you give them a new way to look at it or think or say it.
Jason, you said there were two reasons why we don't ask for referrals. The first one is we forget.
Confidence is the second one.
All right.
The second is confidence.
They go hand in hand. Yeah. People forget because they're not confident. They go hand in hand.
Absolutely.
And that's why you need to have some kind of process to follow. Something simple, easy, that you can remember every time and create an agenda and follow it. So as we land the plane here, Bill, I want to thank you for being with us. Also, friendly reminder, at annual reviews, collect the hobbies, the interests. If you haven't already, make that part of the process to do at the annual review. And if you want additional help, Bill, all the existing advisors working with C2P, Bill is a mentor on our mentor portal. He's available to work with you and just has some fantastic coaching and mentoring he can provide.
Yeah, and it's already included into your C2P membership. Happy to do it. I'm not there to sell anything. I'm just here to help you. So yeah, sign up.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Bill. Like always, it was like having a chat with an old friend, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. This podcast was brought to you by C2P, an organization whose purpose is to educate, train, grow, and support holistic financial advisors so families can achieve true prosperity. Never miss an episode by subscribing now to discover new resources and strategies. Visit C2Penterprises.com to learn how we can help scale and secure your business. At the time of delivery and any subsequent publishing, information was deemed reliable, but is subject to change by the time of listening or viewing. The contents of this piece include options and projections of C2P, are subject to change, and are for informational purposes only. The information provided in this presentation is not intended to be individual investment, tax, or legal advice.